Good afternoon. As she said, my name is Ryan Gilreath. I am a master's student under Dr. David Kearns at LSU. And during the 2016 growing season, we conducted research on determining the relationship of bioassays to field efficacy for the control of the cotton bollworm and with cypermethrin. As we all know, the bollworm is a major pest in numerous agronomic crops, not only in cotton, but sorghum, corn, and soybeans. In cotton, it can cause severe injury, such as terminal damage and feeding, but also ultimately feeding on the fruit, like the bolls and squares and flowers and such. Managing this pest, there's several steps in a good IPM strategy in controlling this. Plant management, keeping your plants kind of at a good regulated height. There's a few biological controls, there's a few natural enemies in the field, although very limited. Ultimately, we've relied heavily here recently on BT and using that as a control method. But ultimately, your effective and timely scouting will really aid in keeping this pest in management. While you're going to the field and scouting, you got to know your thresholds because they will vary among states and by technology. So you got to know what your threshold is when you're looking in a BT field versus a non-BT field. Also, with the BT cotton, we have seen some failures now, and we're having to come in and spray. And so, with these unexpected injuries, we're now relying on Prevathon and Besiege in the Mid-South and in the region of Louisiana. And ultimately, with those, they're a little bit more expensive, and people rely on pyrethroids because of the expense factor. But with the pyrethroids, we're seeing resistance developing, especially in Louisiana. And in Louisiana, we've been monitoring the resistance since 1988 using the 5 microgram adult moth vial assays. The levels of resistance, however, has grown and peaked at over 40% in 2006 and 2015, and has just continued to grow. And then in 2007, we then added the 10 microgram dose to kind of widen our screen there. But the resistance rate has kind of remained roughly constant, about 20%. And then in 2013, we did have a spike of over 50%. But I would like to point out that although we have all this resistance and we have been monitoring, no data actually exists showing any kind of correlation between the vial testing and field control failures. This graph here kind of represents the historical data that we had. As you can see on the bottom is our years, and our y-axis is our percent survivorship in the vials, testing the 5 micrograms. As you can see that it has grown steadily, and you can see 2006 and 2015, you can see it spikes over 40% survivorship. If we look at the 10 micrograms again, you can see that it kind of remained the same for, around that 20% mark, kind of, rising and falling again, but in 2013, you can see the spike of over 50%. So ultimately, our objectives for my test was to determine the relationship between those bioassays and the field performance. And then to do so, we had field trials where we determined the efficacy of cypermethrin in the field. And then we also had 2 bioassays that were done in the lab, one using a moths collected from hard stack traps, and then we collected larvae from the field and reared them to adults in the lab to determine the susceptibility of them to cypermethrin. For the field efficacy, our experimental design was a randomized complete block replicated 4 times. Our plot size was 4 rows by 45 feet long. The insecticide we used was Upside 2.5 EC, which is cypermethrin. And as you can see, these 5 rates, and the top 2 rate, the 0.025 is just below the label rate, and then 0.1 and 0.2 pounds of AI per acre is the 1X and 2X rate, respectively. All this was done with a ground-operated sprayer at 10 gallons an acre and conducted at the Macon Ridge Research Station in Winnsboro, Louisiana. For the bioassays, there was 2 of them. Again, like I said, we had the hard stack trap where we collected the adults from the field, and then we had the adults, and then the field-collected larvae. For the field-collected larvae, they were actually pulled from the treated plots. So once we made an insecticide application, went back to test our efficacy, every larvae that we had found in the field, we then pulled and brought them back to the lab to rear them to adults and then bioassay them using the bioassay procedure. There's 2 treatments for this, a 10 microgram and a 0 microgram with this acetone only, which is a check. And then we also used the hard stack traps So we had the traps located adjacent to all the fields. There were three treatments for this, however, the 10 microgram, 5 microgram, and then again the acetone only, which was just a check. Once the adults were put into the vials, they remained in there for 24 hours. And then after that 24-hour time had elapsed, we then removed them. If they could not fly for more than 3 meters, they were considered dead. And we ultimately tried to bioassay an equal number across the board. So this graph here is showing the amount of larvae that we collected from the field. So you can see the y-axis is showing those number of larvae, and then the treatments across the bottom. As you can see, the maroon bars are showing the actual number of larvae we pulled from the field, and then the blue ones are the ones we actually got to bioassay. So we did receive a lot of natural mortality once we brought them to the lab. I'm not sure exactly why they did it. We'd put them on the diet, and then some would die, or some never found it. And you can see we did have a lot of that death. This is showing the percent survivorship of those moths after we bioassayed them. As you can see, those 1 and 2x rates, I mean, we have a lot of high survivorship in the 10 microgram vials. And it's a typical trend of going upwards in survivorship. This is just the number of moths. I wanted to show how many that we actually collected from our hard sack traps. And so we had about 209 moths that we ran per treatment. And then again, we're showing the same percent survivorship over here from the hard sack traps. And you can see the 5 and 10 were running about 73 and 78%, I believe, percent survivorship respectively. And this graph, I really wanted to show that the top blue bars, as you can see, is the same graph we saw earlier from the field collected larvae and their percent survivorship. And you can see that it kind of corresponds, and you can see the 1x and 2x rates are showing that survivorship. And then when you go to the field and compare it to those maroon bars, which is the percent control we had in the field, and you can see that we had negative control. And so you can see the 2x and the 1x rate are kind of showing the same thing as they showed in our vial assays. And then again, I wanted to show the vial assays versus the hard stack traps, so the field larvae versus the hard stack trap that we collected. And as you can see, they're both ran on 10 micrograms, and you can see they're both showing high levels of resistance. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of conclude this with the field efficacy that we had demonstrated poor control of the bollworm, even at a 2x rate. The moths that were reared that survived the insecticide applications in the field also survived a 10 microgram dose of cypermethrin. There was no difference between the moths' assayed survival between larvae collected and the untreated plots, and even in those, like from those in the sprayed plots, which, you know, this suggests that the majority of the larvae infesting the field were resistant to cypermethrin and not selected by the spray applications. Moths collected by the nearby hard stack traps likewise exhibited the same resistance, with 66 and 73% of the moths surviving those 5 and 10 microgram doses respectively, which again, it's going to suggest that the moths were highly resistant to cypermethrin. With all this, you know, all the data suggests that the detection of pyrethroid resistance using the adult vial assays may be indicative of a high likelihood of a field control failure. However, to further verify this relationship, the study really needs to be repeated in an area where the resistance of the pyrethroid is not consistently a problem, such as it is in Louisiana. With this, I would like to acknowledge Cotton Incorporated, UPI, my major professor, Dr. David Kearns, C. Brown of the LSU Ag Center, all my fellow graduate students, and then my student workers for making all this possible, because it was a very intensive project. And with that, I would like to take any questions. Yes, sir. If I heard you correctly, so how do I rationalize that they could have came from somewhere else and been pre-selected or pre-sprayed? I couldn't quite make out the last two of them. Right. I'm not too sure. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure where. I mean, that's a good question. I'm not too sure though.